morning. What do we mean when we say service is our prayer? Many of us have heard before this affirmation written by the Unitarian minister L. Griswold Williams. In doing my research, I came across this longer version. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in freedom, to serve humankind in fellowship, to the end that all souls may grow into harmony with the divine, this do we covenant with one another. The first line contains three ideals that are beautiful yet arresting. Do we, as Unitarian Universalists, have a doctrine? Do we have sacraments? Are we engaged in prayer in a traditional sense? Is prayer a thoughtful process grounded in written or spoken words, or something else again? And yet, as we engage with this text, the concepts are a framework for building a harmonious and well-balanced spiritual life. A spiritual life that, as Thomas Merton said, is not merely studied, but lived. I've been thinking that these three ideals, love, the quest for truth, and service, are like a three-legged stool on which we balance our faith, sometimes emphasizing one, sometimes another, but in the end needing all three legs to maintain our balance in these turbulent times as we strive together to build beloved community. When I was a girl, I spent summers at a Catholic camp in the Catskills. Once each summer, the priest, Father Vela, gave what he called the peanut butter and jelly sermon, which was his best effort to speak to a group of girls ranging in ages from 8 to 18 about. You cannot live a life of faith without also doing good works in the community, he would say. That would be like eating jelly with no peanut butter. Too sweet, not nutritious enough. But you can't live a life of works without faith either. Peanut butter with no jelly, you get the idea. I guess his approach to teaching wasn't too bad, as I've remembered it all these years. In our metaphor, since we have three ideals, love, the quest for truth, and service, I think we'll need to consider the bread as well to represent the quest for truth, wisdom, and enlightenment, the intellectual and spiritual foundation on which the sandwich is built. Love is the joyful delight we take in our compassionate relations with others, represented by the jelly. And the peanut butter represents meaningful service in our daily lives, which nourishes us as it nourishes others. Come to think about it, you can't have, and you certainly can't hold, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich without the bread. It would be ridiculous. We need all three elements to provide a strong and sustainable foundation for our faith, to help all of us grow through our spiritual practice into harmony. Considering the first ideal, love, it seems clear to me that we embrace love, although it is not what many other religions would recognize as a doctrine. But most of us would agree that love, in its many aspects, is our driving force that underlies our eight principles, unifies us, and brings us delight. The quest for truth is certainly not what most churches would call a sacrament, but in a way it is essential to who we are as Unitarian Universalists. We insist on the freedom to think, debate, and explore our own understanding of the truth of our experience. But what does it mean for service to be our prayer? How can we together explore the value of service in our lives, in this congregation, and in our community? I interpret prayer to mean a spiritual practice, a practice that helps us bring our essential values to our daily encounters with others. Perhaps a traditional concept of prayer and spiritual practice is quiet, contemplative, focused inward, or even more traditionally, upward, toward the divine. Quiet practices of spirituality are immensely valuable and powerful. They help us to connect with our most essential values. They provide respite from the frenzied pace of work and electronic communications. They help us to appreciate that the only time we have is this moment right now. Spiritual practice helps us to shed our competitive, acquisitive, and judgmental inclinations, to grow within ourselves the love and acceptance so that we can dwell in peace with one another. The concepts of service and justice work as spiritual practice is not new. It is found in many faith traditions, as old as the Hebrew Bible, as, for example, in Isaiah, where it is said, "True worship is to work for justice and care for the poor and oppressed." It is worth pausing to ask, what is the purpose of spiritual practice? This is answered, I believe, in the affirmation I read at the beginning, to encourage all of our souls to grow in harmony, to strive to reach our potential as whole human beings in relation to other human beings, other creatures, and our natural world. It's also answered in our eight principles. Our purpose in engaging in spiritual practice is to embrace in our daily lives and interactions respect for the inherent dignity of every person, to cultivate in ourselves a commitment to justice, equity, and compassion. Each of the eight principles serves as a guidepost for our spiritual development. In these times when the pace of life seems intolerably fast and pressured, it seems more difficult to make space for spiritual practice, but it has become more important than ever to cultivate peace and mindfulness. Writing in an earlier era, over 50 years ago, a time not as wired and ceaselessly connected as ours, Thomas Merton observed, "The rush and pressure of modern life are a common form of contemporary violence. To allow oneself to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, to surrender to too many demands, to commit oneself to too many projects, to want to help everyone in everything, is to succumb to violence. The frenzy of our activity neutralizes our work for peace. It destroys our own inner capacity for peace. It destroys the fruitfulness of our own work because it kills the root of inner wisdom, which makes our work fruitful." I appreciate this insight that we need to recover and nurture our inner wisdom, that it is our quest for this inner truth and peace that is essential to make all of our outward work fruitful. In this passage, we can hear an echo of the connections of the three legs of our stool identified above, quest for inner wisdom being our discipline, love and compassion being the root of our wisdom, and the fruitfulness of our work of service to others being equally important, but impossible to achieve without nurturing the other two. And I also hear an admonition not to overdo it, not to press ourselves and others to an endless frenzy of activity, even in the quest to be of service to others. We must do what we are called to do and can do well, valuing our own health and well-being, our inner peace and wisdom. Spiritual practice should be enriching, but not burdensome. This insight that we need to cultivate our inner peace, which is essential for our efforts to promote justice, is shared across many faith traditions, Christian, Muslim, and Buddhist among them. Thich Nhat Hanh has written, "We must first practice mindfulness and grow compassion in ourselves so that peace and harmony are in us before we can work effectively for social change." But what are some concrete examples of service as spiritual practice? Rami Nashashibi, a MacArthur Genius Fellow and the director of Iman, the Inner City Muslim Action Network, which works to empower youth on the south side of Chicago, has stated that community organizing is part of his spiritual practice, and it is a two-way street. Spiritual teaching demands a respect and love for all individuals that informs community organizing. And community organizing is a way of living out our spiritual values in our daily lives. Opportunities to engage in service arise for us every day. We may become overwhelmed by the urgency of many issues of concern, deep poverty in our community, inhumanity towards immigrants, unbridled climate change. But we must not let the perfect be the enemy of the good. We cannot do everything at once, but we can be of service in our everyday lives in ways large and small. Dorothy Day recognized this concept of everyday acts of service as a form of prayer, stating, "I believe some people, lots of people, pray through the witness of their lives, through the work they do, the friendships they have, the love they offer people and receive from people. Since when are words the only acceptable form of prayer? We have here among us in this beloved community many who are daily engaged in service and social justice work. Educators are among our service leaders. Whether education is your work, or you volunteer to teach in child spiritual development, or to tutor a child at a local elementary school, or to mentor a young person in high school or college, you are engaged in important and valued service. Healers, social workers, advocates, musicians are service leaders as well. And you all know what I am talking about when I say that service to others is also deeply rewarding to your spirit. You heard today a tribute to Ryan Hurd, our director of spiritual development, an extraordinary example of a service leader. I'm sorry, he's not here right now. An individual who is daily engaged in serving our youth and our whole community with love, compassion, and creativity. Ryan leads by example, creating impressive opportunities for our youth and adults to experience activism as a powerful force for social change, leading a trip to Harrisburg with 8 of our youth and as many adults to demand equity in education funding, and developing a project to promote a healthy ecosystem that supports monarch butterflies. Not all opportunities for service are large and well organized. We are engaged in service when we care for a loved one in sickness or in hospice care, even when we do nothing more than being a loving presence, listening, talking, abiding. We are engaged in service when we care for a child. We're engaged in service when we provide food and company to a homeless family or an immigrant family in sanctuary. And we have remarkable leaders here in this congregation who engage with this sort of direct service work with immigrants and homeless families with compassion and tremendous respect. And these leaders will tell you that the connections they make with the people who are served are inspiring and deeply rewarding. Service is practiced in moments of kindness, compassion, and connection, as well as in well-organized efforts to promote social change. It is not a question of either or, but both and. The right kind of service or activism for you to engage in is the kind of service that fills your heart with joy, that you feel drawn to or compelled to, that gives you an opportunity to grow in compassion, and that does not overwhelm you with stress. Ultimately, when we work in fellowship to alleviate the suffering of people struggling with poverty and oppression, we ourselves are transformed. And many of us are called to advocate in fellowship for the transformation of the systems of oppression. Martin Luther King Jr. said, as you heard a few moments ago, "Everybody can be great because anybody can serve." He urged us to value service as an integral part of our spiritual life, as our obligation to one another, and as a path for growth for ourselves. And like so many engaged in service to people suffering from oppression, he felt a deep need to work for the transformation of our society. Recalling the story of the Good Samaritan, who stopped on the dangerous Jericho road to help a traveler who'd been injured, King expressed respect, of course, for the Good Samaritan. But using the dangerous Jericho road as a metaphor for systems of oppression, he continued, "I am tired of picking up people along the Jericho road. I am tired of seeing people battered and bruised and bloody, injured and jumped on along the Jericho roads of life. This road is dangerous. I want to fix the Jericho road. I want to pave the Jericho road, add streetlights to the Jericho road, and to make the Jericho Road safe passage for everybody." John A. Powers of the University of California at Berkeley writes about a spiritually informed approach to service and social justice. And here's what he had to say. "Can we start working for the transformation of the institutions that perpetuate suffering? Can we speak to people's deepest needs, to feel a sense of connection, to feel love? Can we realize that working for the elimination of social suffering is an integral part of any spiritual project? Can we have a discussion about values that is grounded in hope and acknowledgement of our connected being? I believe we can, and I believe we must, if we are to heal the self and have a future at all. The concept of service as our prayer embraces two forms of important work: intimate work of kindness and compassion, and activism to transform the structures that create and perpetuate suffering. Both are valuable. Both are rewarding and transformative. Both support and feed each other and nurture our souls. And in the end, all of our service is more valuable, more effective, and more rewarding when we engage in it together in fellowship. Many spiritual practices may be practiced individually, but just as the most beautiful voices may be enhanced when joined in harmony with other music makers, and we certainly are having the privilege to appreciate that beauty and harmony of our wonderful music makers here today, service as a spiritual practice is more beautiful and more rewarding when we engage in service in fellowship and harmony. There is more to say and so much more to do. Let us begin to work together in service, and I invite you to become a part of our social justice work at USG, to bring your ideas, your passion, your energy, and your commitment. For myself, I am profoundly grateful for the opportunities in this beloved community to engage in service and activism in fellowship. I invite you to explore opportunities for service through our work in this community that will leave you feeling transformed and enriched. Feeling deep gratitude for this community, let me end by echoing the words of poet Joy Harjo, whom we read earlier. We must take the utmost care and kindness in all things. Breathe in, knowing we are made of all this, and breathe, knowing we are truly blessed. Blessings be.